Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Bhava nirodho paramaṃ sukhaṃ ti vadanti buddha. Actually, the quote I said at the front was a bit of a juggle, because I said that the end of existence is the highest happiness, said the Buddha. Didn't actually say that, but he implied that with many different terms, such as he called bhava nirodha, the end of existence, as what nibbana means, and also that nibbana is the highest happiness. And also the very famous little phrase which we chanted today at the installation of Chai Kam's ashes into the wall, Anicca Vata Sankhara Upadavaya Dhammino Upajjita Vanirajanti Tezang Upasamo Sukho, which I noticed Sally Lee was chanting with us. You lay people learn that chant as well. It means all formations, all created things. And bhava, existence, is one of those things which are formed from sankharas. And when they cease, that is happiness. Tezang wupasamo sukho, to calm them down, to end them, that is happiness. And soon we'll be calming down, we'll be ending this rains retreat, this wasa. And if you are wise, oh, what happiness, what bliss. Because the ending of things is the happiness. The beginning of things is the problem, the trouble. When we learn how to end things, then we know what peace and happiness, what bliss truly is. The trouble is that when most people end things, they start something again. And so there's this constant renewal of existence, renewal of being, like a continuous rebirth in the cycles of existence. And even in a monastery, we have these cycles of rains retreat and outside the rains retreat and another rains retreat again. And after a while, you get fed up with those cycles. 31 rains retreats I've done now by the end of next week. When will it all end? You make it end now. The talk this evening is how to end things. How to end things beautifully without lingering. The trouble is that when things end, we don't allow them to end properly. We carry something from the past into the future with us. And it's that baggage which obstructs our minds, which stops us being free and being able to flow into nothingness, into emptiness, and to disappear completely. So many things have ended already in your life. Why can't we leave them alone instead of lingering with them and filling our minds with more stuff and being more distant from the emptiness? I know Ajahn Chah would often say that he was always interested in the very concept of the end of things. There's something fascinated by him about when things end. Because you notice in many things in life, they never end. Exams at school never end. You pass one and you have to do another one. Except when you fail and you don't have to do any anymore. That's why failing exams is so much happiness. You don't have to do any more afterwards. And it's the same with other things which we think are failures in life. Sometimes it means you're free after you've failed. If you fail your driving test, you don't have to bother about driving anymore. Whatever it is, sometimes there's a freedom when things end. And Ajahn Chah would often say he wanted to find the way of ending things so they don't start up again. To have tasks or jobs which once it's finished, then you're truly free. Because why do you do anything in this world? We do it to get it out of the way. Sometimes getting things out of the way becomes the modus operandi of our life. We're working in the kitchen. Doing the kitchen cleanup, we get it out of the way so we can do something else and have to get that out of the way next. Or we sort of do sort of the chores, we're upatak, or we're cleaning the toilets. So get this out of the way, so I'll do something else and get that out of the way. We're always getting things out of the way, but we don't know how to get them out of the way properly so they don't come back again. And this is actually where we understand the Buddha's teaching on the ending of things, the real ending of things. Sometimes that when people contemplate impermanence, just rise and fall, and that is endless. This is one of my criticisms of the Vipassana tradition. They don't go deep enough into impermanence, into anicca. Because I cut my teeth, as it were, in the Pali studies on the Vinaya Pitaka. And in the Vinaya, there you've got all these Pali words, but they're used in common usage by people on their daily activities. And that's where you get a real understanding of the meaning of these words. And that's where I came across the meaning of anicca, coming from its opposite, nicca. And as many of the monks here also have studied the Vinaya, you know that there's a class of offerings of food to a monk called nichabhata. Nichabhata, bhata means food, it means nicha food. It means when somebody comes once a week, like you've got the people who come on Mondays, you can't get the people who come on Tuesdays, like you. You've got the people who come on Wednesdays today, so like Peggy. She offers what's called nicha bhata, means a regular supply of food, once a week or once on the every other day or whatever. Once it's a regularity, it's called nicha. Once it stops, it's called anicca. Rise and fall, if it keeps on going like that, it's nicha. It's not anicca. It's a regular rising and falling of things. The real anicca is when things stop, when they end, when they disappear. And this is what we mean by the ending of things. So, the real rains retreat, if it ends and no more rains retreats arise, don't mean you disrobe, I mean you get beyond this idea of in and out of these rains retreats. Then you're getting some deep insight into what the ending of things truly means. But you heard me say before that one of the wonderful things about this path of meditation which we teach here, that things actually do disappear. They end. And you know they've ended because they've vanished. That's why in the suttas you see this whole process. You may not have noticed those words before because they're said one after the other. And sometimes we don't realize they're a sequence. The sequence we actually just chanted a few moments ago in the Anattalakkhana Sutta, the teaching on no self, second discourse of the Buddha, which was the time, the teaching which gave us the first arahats after the Buddha. The five disciples became fully enlightened from that teaching. There's something there which you may miss. It says when we have these five khandhas, we realize they're not me, not mine, not the self, nothing to do with us, not my business, suffering. They didn't say that attachment to those five khandhas is suffering. They said whatever is impermanent is suffering. They just said before that these khandhas, each one of them is impermanent. The khandhas are suffering, Anattalakkhana Sutta says. And so when you see this, you know, this body, this feeling, the pleasant, the unpleasant, in between, whatever you experience in terms of pleasure or pain, positive or negative feelings, all your perceptions, all of your will and your doing and your thinking, even all consciousness, all knowing, is dukkha. When you see that, and you know it's nothing to do with you, it's not your business, they say that the first stage is nibbida. From seeing things as they truly are, you get repelled. What I called in a talk a couple of years ago, nibbida is the Dhamma's ejection seat. You press the nibbida button and you get ejected, thrown off the wheel of samsara. This is how we stop the attachment. We bounce off with a negativity to the situation we're in. You've got to be negative to the fact of your condition of being in a prison of the five senses in order to let go of them. There needs to be an effort there and pull, not sort of an effort coming from the self, but an effort which arises from wisdom. sort of a force which is generated not from a sense of self, but a force which is generated from seeing the truth of things as they really are. You literally cast away, just like the boat cast away from its moorings. You cast away from the mooring of samsara. That's nibbida. And as you sail away, continuing that metaphor, so the coastline starts to disappear. It fades away. That's called viraga, the fading away of things. And what happens after viraga? Nirodha. It ceases. It ends. It's gone. And that's the point of this talk, the ceasing of things. When you see things as they truly are, you get this revulsion, this turning away. You cast away from those things. They fade away, and then they cease. The next stage is called nibbana. Completely ended, snuffed out, disappeared. So this is ending of things, is as it were just next door to nibbana, when things end and finish. Which is why the ending of anything in your life is a great signal. It's a metaphor, it's a pointer, signpost to what the Buddha was talking about of enlightenment, nibbana. So every time something ends, notice what it's like. And see if you can stay with that ending and not allow anything else to arise afterwards. The end of a range retreat, the end of a journey, the end of a life. The end of a life is such a common time when people become enlightened, because the ending is just written in neon sign, neon letters. It is so obvious that something which you took for granted for the whole of your life is now ending. And if you can take that and just infer, extrapolate that little bit further, just as my body ends and I have to cast it aside, so too will my other four khandhas will also end, so I can cast them aside too. This little body of mine, which I was attached to, which I nurtured, which I cultivated and sometimes even worshipped, certainly I worried about it a lot, now it's no use to me anymore, just like a log thrown aside. Let sort of your relations burn it, bury it, whatever they want to do, cast it into space, it's up to them, who cares, but it's no longer yours. Never was anyway, but now it's so clear. And it makes it quite clear, just the way you looked at your body. The same way you look at your Vedana, pleasure and pain. This is mine to control. Just like you try and get your body healthy. You try and get your Vedana, your feelings of pleasure and pain, really healthy. So I can just have pleasure and all my disappointment, my frustration, my anger, my enmity, my fear, my guilt, my grief, my worries, all these negative things. If I really get my act together, I can exterminate this. No way, said the Buddha. They don't belong to you. They're not under your control. You cannot wish them to go away. Even the wisest, skillful, most amazing person cannot do this. You cannot get just pure, unadulterated, forever after eternal happiness. When you have consciousness, you have to abandon everything. So all Vedana, after a while, you just leave it alone. When you leave it alone, that degree of nibbida towards it, what's the point? Leave it alone, just forget about it. Pleasant feeling, if there's a feeling to be felt as pleasant, you have a pleasant feeling. Not because you want it to be. There's a pleased feeling to be felt as unpleasant, you have an unpleasant feeling. You have not made a mistake. It's not your fault. It's just the unpleasant feeling has come. Now you have the unpleasantness. What do you think you can do about it? Do you really think that you have an unpleasant feeling and sometimes if you're skillful or wise you can turn it into a pleasant feeling? Like some alchemist turns, lead into gold? You just can't do that. So stop trying to, you know, change lead into gold, wine into water, or whatever else you want to change into whatever. Just leave it as it is. You can't do anything with Vedana. There's no alchemist trick. to turn all of the unpleasant feelings into pleasant ones. Again, as the Buddha said, if there's a feeling to be felt as unpleasant, you feel it as unpleasant. So why worry about these things? You have nibbida towards the whole thing. Feelings are completely out of control. The way to notice does its own thing, irrespective of what you want, irrespective of your wisdom, irrespective of all of your skill and your effort, you still suffer. So you just throw the whole lot away. Nibbida. When you start to throw these things away, this is when they fade and then they cease. Viraga and Nirodha. The cessation, the ending of things. And that becomes the Nibbana. When everything's ended. Imagine all your Vedana ending. Just imagine what it would be like. No pleasure, no pain, nothing neutral. Oh, what a relief. Sometimes that's scary. Because when there's no pleasure, there's no pain, there's nothing in between, there's nothing which you can relate to anymore. Life as you know it has disappeared. And that's scary. This is the attachment to the known. And again, when we meditate, we go beyond the known. It takes courage to follow this path of deep meditation. You've got to have guts. Not effort, but just courage. The ability to die. To let go. To allow things to disappear. The courage to end. To allow things to disappear. You can see that when we're attached to things, we don't want to end them. We won't allow them to end. We're afraid of the ending of things. Sometimes people are afraid of the ending of the range retreat. What's going to happen next? Who cares? It's not up to you anyway. In fact, the ending is such a beautiful thing. Sometimes people cry at the ending of a life. I smile at the end of a life. Especially if it's been a good life. Especially if it's been like a life well lived in Dhamma. Especially if that's an Aryan who's died. Who's gained that attainment in this life. What a beautiful life that was. You should have a celebration at the death of an enlightened one. Especially if they were an Arahat. Especially if they were a Buddha. The death of a Buddha. This Parinibbana. The Maha Parinibbana of the Buddha Gautama. The most amazing thing. That's why, as I said before during this range retreat, when I went to India last, when was it, March or something, it was Kusinara, which meant the most to me this time. Because I just reflected that this was the pinnacle of the Buddha's life. This was what really mattered. Not the attainment of enlightenment. Because that was just cutting out the seed of rebirth. Not the teaching, certainly not the birth, but when everything ended, that to me, the end of samsara for that five kanda process, that was so amazing and meaningful. That was the culmination of everything. The ending of things is like that, the culmination when things stop. So here you can see these endings every day. People die and you don't see them anymore. Jobs are completed. Days finish. Months are gone. Range retreats are completed. Friends come, friends go. There's so many endings there for you to watch. But when they watch, when all the people who stayed in this monastery for the range retreat, when those who are staying here temporarily go back to their own countries, they're gone, and they all vanish, and soon, especially me, I'll forget you. They'll all disappear, because I don't allow things to linger in my mind. It's great to be able to forget everybody. People think, Jambam, you've forgotten me. Yeah, sure. Viraga, fading away, and cessation. Otherwise, wouldn't it be a terrible brain I had, have to remember all the people I'd ever met? You just can't do that. It's beautiful to let things go. When you actually allow things to disappear, it's so much freedom. That's why even yesterday somebody called up and they told me their name. Do you remember me? I said, no. That was honest. And they reminded me who they were, how are you? But it's great to let things go and have them fade away and end all this stuff. So the first thing we do in our meditation, we end the past. Whatever's happened in the past, allow it to go to cessation. Allow it to fade away and cease. It doesn't matter who did what to who, when and how, and whether you had a great retreat or a bad retreat or something in between or a bit of both or whatever. Or if you weren't here at all during the retreat, you were just in some fantasy or angle world or whatever. I don't know what you've been doing, but who cares? Let it end. Forget it. Isn't it beautiful when you just let things go? When you know the result of letting things go is they do end. Ending is a sign of letting go. So when you let go of the past ends. You see the whole perception of past, the conception of past, all the thoughts and the way that the perception of past gives you this paradigm of looking at life, which is really weird and strange, as if it's some journey you're going through in this life. You're not going on a journey, you're only here, we're only ever here, there's only now, that's the only place there's ever been, all the rest is just perception and conception. Just throw it all away. If you have the understanding, seeing time as it really is, the result is you have nibbida towards time. All this time business is such a pain. Having to worry about getting to a certain place on time, how many hours have you got, how many days have you got to the end of the range retreat, how many days have you been here, how many years have you been alive, it's somebody else's birthday, another car to sign. So can't we let go of time? Time is a pain, and we get nibbida towards time. Real nibbida, the whole perception starts to fade away. And with the fading away, there's this great sense of freedom. Freedom from the dukkha of time. When you understand how time, what's the word? No, I don't think that would work. I was trying to make some connection with Kala, which is the time in Pali, and Kali, this devouring god. It may have some connection, I don't know. But Kali, this devouring god, is a monster. Maybe that is, you know, the connection there in Sanskrit and Pali with time just devours you. It's pain, it's dukkha. Seeing that, you can allow time to end. Your whole perception and understanding of life changes. As for the future, that disappears as well. It ends. The end of time is when you get in this present moment and this stillness. That's why I agree with a born-again Christian who says the end of the world is nigh. They're very close. I just change it to no, the end of the world is now. The world is ending in this moment if you can just let go of past and future. And when you really let go, it disappears. So the next time you get into the present moment, notice the ending of something. Notice that this is what it means, anicca. Something which was always there, this perception of time, of past and future, of hours and minutes, of days and years, of this process has gone. Something has disappeared. That is anicca. Something which was always there, a regular, someone coming to the monastery once a week, no longer comes. A perception which always would visit your mind has disappeared. That is anicca. Something regular, always there, is now absent. Scary at first because you're going into new territory. The familiar is gone. Now you have an ending to watch. Like last week's talk, you're seeing something which most people don't notice. People notice things. They notice starts and beginnings. Endings they don't tend to focus on. When something finishes, you look for something else which is starting. But when things stop, there's nothing there. There's an emptiness. The ending is an emptiness of what went before. That's why, for many people, it's hard for them to focus on. So when you get into present moment, focus on the ending of time. That is the investigation of anicca. Not rise and fall, but cessation, ending, gone. When thought stops, this movement of the mind has now ended. It feels as if like something has stopped inside and disappeared. This ability to conceptualize, to move the mind, to do, has been stopped. This incredible, powerful way of letting go of the big problem maker in your mind, in life, in samsara, the doer, the controller, the house builder, the maker, that has stopped. You're actually stopping the will. But you can't stop the will. It ends. Because you see things as they truly are. You have nibbida. It fades away and it stops. That's how you end things. You don't end things through deciding, I will now end things. You have to go through this whole process, which the Buddha said again and again. Number one, see things as they truly are, usually through jhanas. Number two, watch it fade away. Number two, get revulsion towards it. Number three, see it fade away. The next thing is gone, ceased. Those steps are important. That's why the Buddha always said that's the way it happens. See it as it truly is. The result of that, you get revulsion towards it. Three, it fades away. Fourth, it's stopped. Time has gone. The will has stopped. The body has stopped. How do you stop the body? By seeing as it truly is, getting nibbida towards it, see it fade away, and then it's stopped. In jhana. Or even before jhana, when the body's completely disappeared. The hands, the body, the legs, the neck, the head, all vanish from your perceptual framework. You don't know where it's gone, but you know body has ended for you. It's beautiful when that happens. That's why I said the ending of things is the highest happiness. That's why the Buddha said Nibbana Paramang Sukhang, or in the Anicca Vatisankara, the Tezang Wupasamo Sukho, when they're calmed down, stopped, ceased, that is happiness. The time your body is the happiness. I know this from experience, is when you get into samadhi, you can't even feel the body. That's much better than the bliss of sex or drugs or music or whatever. When things have ceased, relief at last. Please know that, because that gives you the data. Know that when things stop, that is happiness. When things begin, that's suffering. So understand that, then you stop beginning things, you stop going places, you stop moving the world. You just leave it alone and nibbida and it fades away and it stops, it lets go. And you are stopped, and oh, what bliss. Not having any time anymore, not having any thoughts in the mind, oh, what bliss. How do you stop the thoughts? See them for what they truly are. Dukkha, not me, not mine, not a self. Nibbida towards thinking, what am I thinking for? What a pain. And then, if you do it properly, if you really have seen them as they truly are, and you really got nibbida, according to the Buddha, it will fade away and stop. That's what happens. If it don't stop, it means you haven't seen it as they truly are, therefore you haven't got any revulsion towards the thinking, therefore it will continue on and on and on and on until you finally do see things as they truly are, hopefully through some samadhi experience. And all your thinking will stop. Oh, what a pain thinking is. How much we believe the thinking, the nice thoughts, the bad thoughts, all the different types of thoughts. We believe in it and we buy the whole lot. So, pain, throw it away. Then when the five senses and the body end, now you're really getting to the bliss states. These are the ending of the five senses. The karma loka, the world of sensuality, where people just delight in, go backwards and forwards, girlfriends, boyfriends, movies, music, drugs, going to the refined stuff of seeing the beautiful sunset over the Himalaya mountains, seeing the birth of your first child, seeing the completion of your meditation retreat center. Oh, what a bunch of shit. That's all it really is. So when we actually look at it completely, all those things which people delight in the world. As the Buddha said, what the Aryans say is suffering, is dukkha. The world says is happiness. And how true that is. The ending of things, when things stop, what the Aryans say is bliss. The world says is suffering. Ah, my husband has died, my child has died. Now my lollipop has been taken away by Mara. Whatever it is, ending of things. People in the world think it is suffering. But the Aryas know it is bliss. So the end of this range retreat, is it suffering or bliss? Are you an Aryan or a Putuchana? How are you looking at the ending of things? With fear? Expectation? With plans? You're a prisoner of time. You thinking too much? You're a prisoner of thought. Still concerned about your body? You're a prisoner of your body. You're still worrying about your attainments or lack of them? You're a prisoner of your mind. And the other khandhas, let's let them go. They're not me, not a mind, not a self. And you see them as they truly are, the whole lot fades away. Not just your body and the five senses, the mind starts to fade away. Now you're getting into the real bliss states. Is going through the jhanas, first, second, third, all the way, to see everything ending. An incredible, profound thing of seeing things disappear. And sometimes I read other teachings, whether it's the Vajrayana or the Mahayana teachings, the Zen teachings. You get exposed to all these other stuff, Dzogchen or whatever. And that's actually, you know, a lot of times that's what I really look for. To see if any of those teachers is teaching about the ending of things. Or whether they're just saying, just see these things, they keep on going, you're just not attached to them anymore. So that's not Nibbana, that's not Buddhism. You are still attached. If you weren't attached, they would cease. Understanding the word attachment also to mean fuel. If there's no fuel, things burn out. They stop, they disappear, the flame goes out, there's no heat anymore, there's no light anymore. It's ended, there's a cessation happens there. That's why I always want to see these teachers of Buddhism or the teachers of Dharma. Do they talk about cessation, things ending? Or are they always looking at things continuing, some essence which continues forever? Or is it an ending of everything? The endings are the beautiful ones. Just as Ajahn Chah always wanted to look for ending of things and take ending to its ultimate conclusion when everything ends. It's Nibbana. So this is why it's so beautiful understanding ending. And we do this in our meditation. We understand what ending means. We delight in the end of things. Not in the beginning, not in the middle, but the end. We're really getting things out of the way at last. We start by getting time out of the way. We then get thinking out of the way. Then we get the five senses out of the way. Then we get the doer out of the way. Then we get the jitta out of the way. Get everything you can out of the way. Out of the way of Nibbana. You see all these things ending. After a while, you tend to like endings, not beginnings, not middles. Certainly you don't enjoy rebirths and reincarnations of things. When things finish, once and for all, they're done. You never have to do them again. Oh, what bliss. Trouble with building monasteries is, I know this because this was taught to me even in the first couple of years, and it was Ajahn Chah who said, you build your monastery and as soon as you build it, then you have to replace it, repair it, maintain it, whatever. It's always constant work building. It's the same with getting attainments. You get a jhana, you still won't be satisfied because you want another one. You want a deeper one. It just goes on and on and on, just like a person gets their first degree, their bachelor's, and then they want a master's, then they want a PhD, then they want another double PhD, and it keeps goes on and on and on and on. Why wouldn't there be an end of all this? So don't look at attainments like you look at university degrees, or look at medals, or look at whatever else. You want to see if you can end things, get rid of them. That's why you want to empty out your heart, throw things away, have few possessions, have few thoughts, have no past, not just few past memories, just throw the whole lot away. Have no future. Be a person with no future. In the world they say, you're really a bum, you've got no future. In Buddhism we say, you've got no future. Sadhu, sadhu, an Aryan. At least close on the way to being an Aryan. So be just this person with no future. Let these things go and delight in the emptiness, in the ending, the anicca, result of anicca, when things stop. See them, delight in them, and you become just so peaceful and so happy. Because when things stop and you delight in the stopping, in the ending, in the emptiness which happens after stopping, when you delight in the emptiness, you can recognize it, you know the stopping, you enjoy the stopping, then you don't tend to start more things. It's the starting which creates the trouble. At the end of this life, just delight the fact you've died. The body is gone. Oh, what bliss. And then there's a good chance you won't go looking for a new body to disturb yourself and all these other beings. It's ended. Bliss. That might just stop you from starting again. Noticing the ends, but not doing any more beginnings. That's why Nirodha is the end which has got no beginning following afterwards. The real Nirodha of all the sankharas, the fashionings of buildings and makings of life, you've ended it once and for all. Oh, what bliss. If you can't do that in your meditation though, how do you reckon you can do it when you die? It's going to be a tough one. You still can actually, but the more you can do that in your meditation, the more likely it is when you die, you will make this your last life. You can do that in your meditation. Just allow things to end. This thought which is coming up now, see its ending. Notice that. Focus on the ending. Not in the beginning of it, not in the middle of it, but just focus on it when it stops. Know what stopping is. Be someone who perceives stopping, who's familiar with stopping, who gets off on stopping, who delights in stopping. And then stopping will appear in your mind more and more. It will just be the most important part of your perceptual framework. So when things stop, you'll be just so caught up with the stopping. Be so delighted when you don't know what's happening next. Something which comes to mind is many, many years ago, when we used to do chanting, sort of in the afternoon during the rains retreat, I remember we were chanting the spreading of the four Brahma Viharas. Metang, Sahagatena Chetasa, that chant. And I had just done a nice meditation. And so as soon as I started this, I knew the Pali, so I started doing it. The whole chant was, you know, spreading loving kindness, up, down, across, all the directions. So as I was chanting, I was doing it. And then I got in this beautiful metta state. I couldn't go on any further. The chant had finished. I just stopped in metta. I don't know, I was really silent for the rest of the chant. I think Ajahn Jacko told me off for not chanting. I said, sorry, I couldn't help it. Nothing to do with me, not self. And this is what happens when things stop. And it happens sometimes for you when you get into some deep state of meditation. The world stops. Or at least part of it does. If half the world has stopped, if you can go the whole hog and go the whole world stops. When the world stops, it means things disappear. I was completely oblivious of all the other monks in the room. Even couldn't hear their chanting, just going into this deep metta state. So what happens when things stop? My fellow monks had disappeared from the face of the earth during that time. Couldn't feel them, didn't know what they were doing, where they were. So what happens? Things stop and they disappear. Oh, what bliss. And then, body disappears, thoughts disappears, time disappears. If you haven't been in a deep meditation, you haven't got a clue how long it is. 10 minutes or 10 hours, you haven't got a clue, it's just exactly the same. That's why people sit for long periods of time. You don't think that they're counting the hours. That's 1 hour, another 9 hours to go. 2 hours down, another 8 hours. Come on, you can make it. That's not how you sit for long periods of time. That's stupid stuff. You just go into timelessness. You haven't got a clue. No perception of time. Time has stopped for you. When it starts again, it's 3, 4, 5 hours, 6 hours later. You understand what stopping is. Things end and they disappear. Things which were so important to you, a basic framework of existence, a paradigm which you thought was inherent in all things, has gone. And it's insight. You're seeing something which most people just couldn't even contemplate. They couldn't even imagine how that could be. But there, you've done it, you've been there, it happens. That's real insight. So the whole thing stops, yeah, you see things, wow, this is interesting. Time stops, thought stops, the body stops, whole monastery disappeared, whatever your name is, that stopped. Who you think you are, that's all stopped. All of the things which define you and give you meaning have all disappeared. So you've got no meaning left. You've gone. Everything which is a label to define yourself, to define your place in time and in the world. Everything has completely vanished. You literally have got nothing to stand on. Analayo. This word alaya, the roosting of the birds at night, they go to an alaya. This is no place to roost on at all, nothing to stand on. Everything which you've known, which gives you meaning, which gives you an identity, which gives you a place or a space or a location or a time or something to do or somewhere to go or something to be, it's all been completely removed. Oh, what bliss. It's all gone, stopped, ended, finished. So this is why we practice. The more things stop, the more we get used to stopping, the more we enjoy stopping, the more things do stop. If we don't appreciate when things stop in life, then we forget to linger with stopping, and we go and do something immediately afterwards. So every time something stops, it's like a gift of Dharma presented to you. And instead of accepting it and delighting in the stopping, yeah, stopping, we throw it away and go start something else. So whenever anything stops, linger. Understand the word stopping. Get into the concept. Remain there. Allow stopping to fill the whole mind. Until the stopping, the whole idea and meaning of it allows other things to stop, like a virus, the stopping virus, which infects all the other parts of your five candle process. You understand the stopping of time. You feel it, you be it, you become it, you are it, it just becomes everything. It's your perception, your meaning, and it starts to infect everything else in your jitta. Until everything else stops as well. When it stops, samsara stops. You won't know what nibbana is. Seeing it for yourself, stopping the end of this process called existence. Bhava Nirodha, said the Buddha, is nibbana. Cessation of what you take to be existence. So soon the rain retreat is about to stop. May you stop with it. Stop forever. Never need to go anywhere else. Nibbida, revulsion, fading away till there's nothing left, till the whole universe, all that's sensed, all that's known, all that's felt, all everything, all ideas, all suttas, all vinaya, all feelings, all monks, nuns, lay people, devas, everything absolutely stops. Then you are free. Well, that's the talk this evening about the end of the rains retreat. May it really be an end of a rains retreat this year, not just the beginning of a out of the rains retreat time. May it be an end with no more beginnings. May you leave the rains retreat and carry nothing forward at all. May things vanish and disappear so you can just enjoy the emptiness of Nibbana. That's the talk this evening on stopping.
Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho Sangha Namah.